Okay, good morning. Thank you all for coming. Very happy to have the delegation from the Turkish Grand National Assembly Foreign Affairs Committee. The delegation is headed by Murat Mercan, the chairman. The way we thought we'd do this is to have the first part short presentations, reviews of particularly Turkish foreign affairs, but if they want to get into other aspects of of Turkey that we're interested in, economy, politics, they could do that, but the focus will be on foreign affairs. We'll then go to Mr. Elekta and then Mr. Melen representing the MHP and the CHP in reverse order. And then the two other members of the delegation will say some things, presumably, hopefully. But we'll start. The first part will be on the record. There are cameras and reporters. And then when we get to the Q&A, the cameras will be switched off. And we'll just have a free-ranging discussion. With that, welcome again to CSIS, Chairman Mercan.
Thank you very much, Bülent. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a privilege for me to be here and to talk about Turkish foreign policy. Of course, I'm going to focus on Turkish foreign policy, but nothing else. Now, if you look at the fundamental milestones of foreign policy, global foreign policy, we would see that there was a pre-Soviet era where it was a bipolar period and Turkey was in the Western ally, NATO member, and the foreign policy paradigms then were very clear, and you were either on one camp or on the other camp, and Turkish main role was to guard Western allies against Russian or Soviet interest. Then between the fall of Soviet era and the 9/11 event, again, the aftermath of Soviet era has continued, but yet the tension in the whole world has declined until the 9/11 era. Now, after 9/11, of course, as you have seen, the main focus of the foreign policy turned into non-state conflicts and especially the fight against terrorism. And this continued until two factors played an important role. One was, of course, with the new Obama administration, things seemed to be changing, and also the global economic crisis will have definitely a lot of impact on the world dynamics. Now, of course, when you look at the global economic crisis, its impact on Europe, European Union, will definitely shape the future of the foreign affairs. The debate on those matters will be the main issue. And of course, with the new Obama administration, since I don't have much time, I cannot dwell on these issues specifically. With the new Obama administration, the strategy, the strategy of United States at least seemed to be changing somewhat. It becomes more rapprochement and less of creating tensions. Now, this aspect, of course, will definitely have changed Turkish foreign policy. All these factors will definitely have changed Turkish foreign policy. Before the Soviet Union fall, Turkish foreign policy was unimodal in a sense that Turkish foreign policy mainly focused on realigning itself all in all, case by case, based on its position toward Soviet Union and tension between Soviet bloc and NATO. Now, we are living in an era where the regional conflicts have global impacts. Also, we are living in an era where balance of power is being changing, is being affected with the global economic crisis. So therefore, Turkish foreign policy, regardless of which party is in power, has to be multidimensional, has to be proactive, because most of the problems, most of the regional problems we're having in the world right now surround Turkey. If, for instance, you count five most important regional conflicts which have global impact, four of them probably fall within the reach of Turkey. Let it be the Balkans initially, then the Caucasus, Middle East, Iran, all the way extending to Afghanistan. And this, of course, creates Turkey or gives Turkey an opportunity to add value to contributing to solving these problems. Now, having this in mind, if we come to the regional factors or regional tensions, we would see that instead of addressing to a single problem, we need to probably look at the big picture and try to resolve the problem from a big picture perspective. So instead of addressing the problem, bilateral problem, probably we should come up with different strategies whereby we will add value to peace and stability. Now, this, in fact, summarizes our main philosophy, foreign policy philosophy, at least the government, I can tell you. Now, for that reason, for instance, Turkey adopted the policy of zero problem with its neighbors. Also, Turkey adopted the policy of integrating with European Union. And also, Turkey adopted the policy of using its soft power ability to address the problems all over its region. Now, when we look at regional issues, which I'm sure most of you might be interested, our main effort in contributing regional problems is to help facilitate the peace and stability process. That's what we have done in the Balkans, late 1990s, and that's what we have done in the Caucasus, in the Georgian crisis, for instance, where we initiated Caucasus Peace and Stability Pact, where it will lead to a platform people would discuss. Countries, nations will discuss their bilateral problems. And also our rapprochement with Armenia has to be seen from that perspective. Not only our aim is to solve the problem with Armenia, but also our aim is to help the Caucasus, which is very critical for Europeans and for Americans, especially when we consider the energy corridor, to help the Caucasus be more stable. So our rapprochement to Armenia should not be viewed as only, solving a conflict with a neighbor. It has to be viewed as creating a stable Caucasus. Now, when you look at our abilities there, you would see that there has been a certain amount of success in creating credibility of the country and at the same time in helping the country to be more proactive. Our initiatives in the Middle East have to be seen in that regard as well. Our initiative that lead to Syrian-Israeli talk has to be seen with that regard. Our initiative when we established a dialogue with Syria 2-3 years ago have to be seen from that perspective as well. So it is more of an inclusiveness policy rather than isolationist policy. And we are benefiting from it. In fact, 2 years after our first dialogue with Syria, we are very happy to see that American authorities started to establish links and dialogue with Syrian authorities as well. The way we look at the Middle East should be seen in the same regard too, because Middle Eastern crisis by itself has a global impact all over the world. Without solving the Arab-Israeli conflict, it is impossible to have stability, not only in the region, but also to have some sort of a peace in other parts of the world. So our efforts in helping or in being a facilitator within Middle East have to be seen that way as well. When we come to Afghanistan, of course, Turkey's involvement in Afghanistan is quite different because of its traditional and historical ties with Afghanistan. Our contribution to Afghanistan is pretty much valued. And in fact, when you look at the developments right now, you see the steps taken by Turkey in helping state-building efforts, in helping infrastructure efforts, in helping education in Afghanistan will probably become major policy measures in the near future for Afghanistan. In summary, since I don't have much time, in summary, I can tell you the following. Turkey is, as always, is westward-oriented country. Assuming her responsibilities toward its allies and assuming its responsibilities toward its neighbors. And plus, with the new Obama administration, of course, and their rapprochement policies, Turkey's involvement in regional problems will be more apparent. And that has been, in fact, signaled by Obama administration by two calls, both to the president of the country and to the prime minister of the country, and upcoming visit of Madame Clinton, Ms. Clinton, State Secretary Clinton, to Turkey, and also Mr. Mitchell's visit to Turkey signal at this, for the time being, the realization of strategic partnership of Turkey with the United States, and Turkey will probably play more role in all these regional conflicts in the coming days. But the strategy has to be, of course, try to include those countries in helping and in solving, in trying to help to solve the problem. I think that summarizes what I have in mind, just the blueprints of what I have in mind. But shall there be further questions, I would like to elaborate on all these matters later on. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairman Mercan. Of course, I neglected to mention that Chairman Mercan is from the AK, Justice and Development Party. We now go to Shukr Lekta, who's with the CHP, the Republican People's Party, and of course, a former ambassador to Washington. Welcome back, Mr. Lekta.
Yes. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is a pleasure for me to speak at the CSIS. At the outset, I would like to say a few words how People's Republican Party looks at Turkey's relationship with the new administration in the United States. Then I will try to elaborate shortly on the situation on Iraq. And then I will say a few words as regards to how we evaluate Turkish-Israeli relations. Now, as is known, during the Cold War years, Turkey, with its strategic location and its army, constituted a dam which prevented both the Soviet Union's and communism's expansion. At that time, Turkey had a most valuable place in both United States' nuclear global strategy and the European defense strategy. Due to the important military duties and responsibilities that Turkey undertook within the NATO, it was regarded as an esteemed key ally by the United States and Western European countries. With the end of the Cold War, Soviet and communist threats have completely disappeared. Consequently, Turkey's role in United States strategic nuclear defense planning and European defense came to an end. But that was not the end of United States-Turkish partnership. During the post-Cold War years, Turkey and the United States worked together for peace, stability, and prosperity over a vast geographical area and issues that covered Iraq, Afghanistan, the Balkans, Central Asia, the Mediterranean, the Middle East peace process, and energy supply security. This fruitful cooperation, based on common interests and mutual trust, which had been described as a strategic partnership by President Clinton, also continued in post-September 11 climate. Turkey has declared that it will remain a close ally of the United States and will be on its side in the war against Al-Qaeda and Islamic radicalism. This partnership not only serves to the best the national interests of our two countries, but also proved to be an important asset for preserving peace, stability, and security in our region and beyond. It is therefore clear that Turkey's and United States' common interests requires that a robust partnership be built among them. With this in mind, we want you to know that Turkey has the will, my party has the will, to strengthen and deepen Turkey's relations and cooperation with the new administration in Washington. We want that Turkey initiates its relations with the Obama administration with a clean slate, or rather with a positive agenda. In this context, we hope that the United States Congress and President Obama will not take any step that will be detrimental to the Turkish-US cooperation by accepting Armenian lobbyists' requests, namely, first, the passage of a resolution by the United States House of Representatives charging the Ottoman Empire of having committed genocide, and two, the usage of the word genocide by President Obama in his statement on April 24 should not be, used. Now, a few words on Iraq, because if I elaborate our position regarding Iraq, I will be able to give you some ideas about some past, difficulties and differences that we have had with the United States. Now, first, one of Turkey's and our party's primordial foreign policy objectives is to see a territorially integral, politically united, economically prosperous Iraq. An Iraq which generates security and stability for the entire region. So we welcomed the approval of the SOFA by the Iraqi parliament with the expectation that it will serve such a purpose. We are equally glad to observe the positive trend in the security and stability situation in the country. However, we are preoccupied with the fact that these gains are still reversible and the overall situation is still very fragile in Iraq. Indeed, the situation is very precarious. Also, there are important elections in Iraq in 2009 which are expected to shape the future of Iraq, and these are likely to spur a new round of sectarian, ethnic, and political violence, which could spiral out of control. Therefore, let's hope that the withdrawal of the United States forces would not have destabilizing effects on the situation in Iraq. Taking into consideration Iraq's strategic location in the Middle East, repercussions of a possible relapse into chaos would be detrimental to the whole region. Indeed, it will sow instability throughout the Middle East. Therefore, my party is one of the strongest supporters of the stabilization process in Iraq. Thanks to the recent relative progress in the security situation in the country, the Turkish government has intensified its efforts to consolidate this positive trend and to help the Iraqi government to move it to a new stage where the focus will be on improving the living standards of the Iraqi people. For this purpose, the government of Turkey and Iraq signed recently a joint declaration which sets out a roadmap to enhance the social, economic, and political relations between the two countries. This is very important, I think. We could do a lot for stability in Iraq, for the reconstruction in Iraq. Presently, both sides are working on the materialization of the objectives stated in the joint resolution, on the joint declaration. However, PKK terrorists who are sheltered still in northern Iraq constitute an obstacle which prevents Turkey to be more active in the reconstruction of Iraq. In this regard, we expect the trilateral cooperation mechanism composed of Turkey, Iraq, and the United States, which has the mission to fight terrorism, to work effectively and eradicate the PKK elements who are still being aided and abetted by northern Iraqi authorities. Elimination of the PKK terror organization's presence in northern Iraq from the agenda of Turkish-Iraqi bilateral relations will certainly boost our bilateral cooperation and will help achieve our common objective of establishing a stable, prosperous, and peaceful Iraq free of terrorist activity. Now, a few words about how Turkey views, how People's Republican Party views Turkish-Israeli relations. The appearance after Davos incident is that Turkish-Israeli relations are estranged. This is not true. Turkey is effectively an ally of Israel. Turkish-Israeli cooperation in the fields of defense industries, economy, commerce, and tourism remains intact. Indeed, Turkey and Israel are partners which have critically important strategic value for each other. Because of domestic Turkish sympathy and support of Palestinians, occasional frictions between Turkey and Israel stems at the time of eruption of harsh crisis between Israelis and Palestinians. So the intensity of the response to these crises depends on the policy of the political philosophy of the governments in power in Turkey. But because of powerful historical legacy and the fact that the Israeli-Turkish relations are anchored in strategic interests, these frictions do not undermine the extent of cooperation between Israel and Turkey. In a nutshell, Turkey and Israel have jointly created a strong and mutually rewarding bonds of alliance in harmony based on their powerful historical legacy of tolerance. And I should say, continuity lies at the core of the strategic relationship. And I would like to underline this. Continuity lies at the core of our strategic relationship. And this observation leads me to state what our leader has once said, you know, I'm speaking about Mr. Baykal. He said once that Turkey and Israel have vested interests in each other's welfare and security. Now, my last words will cover very cursorily the Jewish community in Turkey and our historical bonds. Recently, there had been certain articles in the international press claiming that anti-Semitism is hardwired into Turkish society and that Turkey's Jewish community is being threatened. Now, these comments are untrue and inflict gross injustice on the Turks. Anti-Semitism has no place in Turkey. It is a concept alien to the Turkish culture. We Turks praise ourselves for the wisdom of our ancestors, the Ottomans, who have opened the doors of their empire to the Jews who escaped discrimination, oppression, and extinction. Intellectual and industrious as they were, the Jews have always contributed remarkably to the economic, commercial, scientific, and cultural development of the Ottoman Empire, and they certainly continue to do the same for Turkey now. Turkish citizens of Jewish origin are part and parcel of our society. I assure you that the relationship between the Turks and the Jews stands as a powerful example of coexistence, understanding, and harmony between peoples of different ethnic and religious backgrounds. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Alekta. As the first part, your statements are on the record. We will put them onto our website. Now I'd like to welcome Mithat Melen, representing the other opposition party, MHP, National Action Party. Again, welcome back to Washington.
Thank you very much, Brent, and welcome you all. And it's exactly a month that I was here. So each fifth of each month, I'm going to be here, I hope. it was 5th of February, 5th of March, then 5th of April, hopefully.
Well, the last time you talked about the economy, yes. Mostly, so now it's foreign affairs.
But I really want to talk to the economy again. Because really, we cannot build up everything on foreign policy without thinking economy. In fact, and after 1980s, Turkey has really opened the borders and changed a lot and accepting a market economy, first of all. I mean, from a semi-state type of economy, more market economy. Then, though, of course, foreign policy is really influenced by this, and Turkish opening to the West especially has increased. I mean, first of all, I'm not taking the point from the economist view, but I think the most important thing now, the trade is concerned. If you make more trade, you are more open to the world, that means, and if you should get the barriers off, which I think we lately did, starting from 1985, foreign exchange barriers and other barriers like capital movements and invisible transactions, which are very important codes that we have accepted starting from 85. Then on, all these international affairs have been increased. And, of course, Turkey is really involved with IMF for years and ages. Maybe this is one of the rare countries in that region that using the funds of IMF and also World Bank, which is also another thing that we should really think it over and really build everything on these, especially our foreign policy. So maybe the point was now after 1980s. So the 1980s, it was a very important time for Turkey turning more to the market economy, more being involved in, especially in Western markets, which is another thing now that we should underline. And of course, I must say that lately, as you know, the most important crisis all over the world has happened. I mean, this financial crisis or economic crisis, whatever you think about it, but it's an important thing. And not only Turkey is having problems itself, but the world is having problems, starting from the United States. And lately, Mr. Obama and his team came up and tried to find some solutions for these problems. But it seems to me that up to now, the solutions is not enough, because the solutions that they are trying to find to the world's problem, not only the United States problem, because the wealth is being created and generated from here in a way, in a global way, and the problems are not really being solved. Like I always say this, and maybe it's a good word, instead of trying to teach everybody how to catch a fish, they try to give everybody a fish. So helping this out, how are you going to do with the competition and how are you going to plan with everybody's future last 2 months because the precautions are not enough. And because if there's a recession here, there will be another recession in Europe, which affects more than 2 points to Europe and 3 points to us and to the world, more 4 points in GNP growth and everything. So United States is a very important source if the economy is not correct here. And if it's not in the way, in its right path, then we will all have problems. So why we don't think, first of all, foreign policy is going to be changed and transformed accordingly. There's a new era is going to start, like G20s, and maybe the last resort is necessary for, again, covering all these problems and even trying to find out a new way of thinking, a new way of approach and strategy. With this crisis, maybe we are going to learn very much about how to deal with international problems and how to look up, how to dig those problems, like Iraq, for instance. Iraq is, you know, United States are going to withdraw their troops there and going to invest more to Afghanistan, which also they want troops from some NATO allies like us. But who are going to finance it? On one hand, there's problems here in this country, economic problems, and on the other hand, you are going to do something on Iraq or in NATO, for instance. Again, NATO has evolved much, and lately we see that it was not the same as 20, 25 years ago after the Soviet era. Soviets are collapsing. What's the aim of NATO? But even NATO now really tries to follow up in Somalian waters all these pirates now. The Cyprus, you know, problems and all these problems. So everything is changing. So I think the new concept to the foreign policy should come as well, because it's more dependent now to economic changes in the world than ever. I'm not neglecting or I'm not saying that politics is something we should forget about it, but especially international politics. But we need new strategies, like we also do. For instance, the most important partner of Europeans we are Turkish people, and we, Turkey, is not only discussing with Europe our economic problems, because all chapters are closed and vetoed, has a veto there. You see, it's another thing. It's funny that I must underline, I mean, Turkey is going to be a full member and negotiating with Europe, but we cannot discuss economic problems. 5 chapters are really being closed because of vetoes of France and everything. But France wants to now, which is already, I think they are already in NATO, but not to the military side. They really want to turn back to the military side of it. But every time having obstacles in front of Turkey. And all these problems around the world, I think, in a way, is Turkey becoming, making the Turkey as a hub. Turkey is a hub of problems because around the dynamites are there, the Caucasus, Iraq, and even Europe. So if you look very carefully to the energy security, for instance, all energy lines are passing through there. And how we could really neglect economic productivity or economic way of looking to those things. If you really consider Turkey with 8 neighbors around you, and you should really make trade with them in order to survive and let them to survive. If southern eastern Turkey could not make any trade with Iraq, northern Iraq could not survive, or on the other way around, the southeastern Turkey could not survive. So maybe the core of the problems are more economic than ever now. And the world needs another way of thinking, and maybe another type of leadership, and another maybe new institutions, because including IMF, World Bank, even NATO is having some problems and need transformations for themselves. I really don't want to explain everything through economy, but also, for instance, the Armenian issue. The issue here are more with diaspora than really the Armenia itself. Armenia was unfortunately a poor country and having lots of problems, and even they really could not like any decision being taken by the United States like this in a way, passing through that parliament, because they are going to suffer. There are only 80,000, I underline this, Armenians living in Istanbul and working. And nobody really acknowledges that we have, you know, not maybe directly, but indirectly have some economic ties through Azerbaijan and through also Georgia. But in a way, we cannot really forget Azerbaijan and Karabakh problem in order to solve Armenians' problem, like opening the gates between us. So I think, you know, if you really think it over and over and over, you'll see one day that we all need another type of leadership and strategical thinking to find out ways to get out of this problem. Because unfortunately, if this goes on like this, and if the world could not really get into the shape and get into the rail again, the unfortunate thing is not. I am not hoping this. Another wars could happen, because to change all this, we try, the human beings, unfortunately, to fight instead of making pieces. But I think for me, peace really passes through more economic ties, more trade ties, and more understanding and more cooperation. Maybe coming me every month to United States and talking to you like this. Thank you very much.